She said, are you working today, then, or?
No, I'm summer break, so.
Oh, you're not working. Ah, I thought you were working. Working from home.
I'm not working. Are you working?
Yeah, I'm working, yeah. I'm working right now.
All right, well, I mean, clearly you're not. Is this the first time we're recording in the morning?
This is morning? It's nearly high.
No, but what I mean is normally we record in the evening and I will have a beer, but instead of having a beer with me, I've got a coffee and this just feels a bit strange, so.
Yeah, I think it is the
I
first
time. I think this must be the first time we're recording during the day, during the morning. Right, so what did you want to talk about?
Oh yeah, so
Welcome to Screen Bites, a podcast about video games, technology, TV and movies. In this episode, we discuss the closure of the Xbox 360 store.
Yeah, just wondering your thoughts on the Xbox 360 store shutting down. How do you feel about Microsoft giving us a year from now, the store will be shutting down for good?
I suppose the big question is, if you already own the games, can you still play them? And but the other thing is, if you delete them, can you still download them, or is that going away as well?
That's a good question. So I believe how it works is if you own the game, then you can still download the game and play it. And you know, but if you don't own the game, then you can't then purchase anything from the store then. So I remember like on the PlayStation, like PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4, I'm not sure if it's the same, but you can like on your download list, because you've downloaded it before, it allows you to re-download it. So I suspect that there must be like a list where it's like, oh, Xbox has like, these are your games in your library, and it will show you the games that you have purchased. Even if you bought it on the 360 and it's compatible with Xbox One, then it'll allow you to do that. I haven't been on the Xbox 360 in like 10 years, so I don't know what the interface is like anymore. I'm kind of just used to using the Xbox One.
Yeah, that's going to be the thing. Like, what does this mean? Because if the Xbox 360 store is closing down, does that mean, I've not read the thing, so is it the store on the 360? Or is it the Xbox 360 games on the Xbox store? So can you still buy Red Dead Redemption digitally on the Xbox One and the Series S through the Xbox game store, even if it's an Xbox 360 game? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So are they getting rid of the Xbox 360's game from the game store, or are they just stopping the Xbox 360 from accessing the store?
I think it is that they stop the Xbox 360 from accessing a store, because I believe...
Oh yeah, there you are. So it's not loading, but it just says we are stopping the Xbox 360 from accessing marketplace.xbox.com. So I'll be honest, I don't care. This is such a nothing burger, because if you're upset about... the store itself isn't going away. You just can't access it on a system that isn't supported. And we think about like security updates and all that kind of stuff for the Xbox 360, and that's probably the main reason why Microsoft are dropping support, is that they don't want a device that might have security vulnerabilities come up in the future to have access to the store and potentially have to spend money to update it later on, or cut support without any without any notice. So at least we're having a year for people who still have a 360 to think, okay, I need to go buy an Xbox One secondhand from CX or from eBay or something like that. So I, you know, compared to the other stores that we've spoken about shutting down, I think this is probably the least customer hostile. Like, this isn't a bad thing. It's not great if all you have is a 360, but there's probably real reasons for Microsoft to close it down. You can talk about whether it's profitable or not and whether they've got enough money to eat those costs, but they're not getting any money. They're probably not getting a significant amount of money from the 360 to cover the development costs of keeping that platform secure. And as long as you can access all of those games on the One and the Series consoles, it's not really a big deal.
Well, I think that's where you're getting a bit confused, because I don't think the Xbox One, it supports a good number of Xbox 360 games, but not all of them.
I know it's not everything, but still.
And it doesn't support, it won't support all of the indie arcade, Xbox Live Arcade games as well. So you will be, there is a reason where you will...
I bet they're all on Xbox Live, though, on their Game Pass even. You could stream it or something.
Well, that's what I'm saying. No, there are some games that you can't, they haven't made compatible. So there will be games where you can only play on the Xbox 360 because they haven't made it backwards compatible for the Xbox One. They don't I know that they support a good chunk of the Xbox 360 library, but not all of it. So I don't know how much percentage it supports, but I do think it supports a good chunk. But I think there is a few games that you will be missing out on if the store goes, if you don't download. It's the same situation for the PS3, but I suppose the PS3 is different because the PS4 and PS5 were never backwards compatible with the PS3. In terms of, like, if you've bought something on the PS3 store and it can only work on the PS3, then it's not going to work on the PS4 and PS5. So it's a bit of a grey area. I think there are, like, indie games and games that have been made specifically for the 360 that are not compatible with the Xbox One that you will lose the access to and you'll never get a chance to play it. And the only
way it looks like quite a lot. So there's 600 games that have been made backward compatible.
That's a lot.
And out of 2,100. So actually, it's only a quarter. So it's a lot of games that you won't be able to play. But realistically, how many people are still using the 360 and buying these games? It's a bit like the other stores. If the money's not there for Microsoft, the money's not there for Microsoft. If it's not statistically significant for them to keep the store open, then why are they going to keep it open forever? Because it's easy for us to shout here and say, to sit here and shout at Microsoft, say, oh, look, it's only costing you $10 million a year to keep the 360 store up, and you're getting $2 billion from Xbox One and Xbox Series sales and from Game Pass PC sales and everything. But they could have shut it down like 5 years ago and they'd have been just within their rights. And to be honest, whose fault is it? Is it Microsoft's fault for not making these games compatible, or is it the developers of those games for not updating them for the Xbox One and the Xbox Series, or having them on disc where you can buy them in other places? Like,
well, you can't. Who does
that lie with?
Like, yeah, well, I suppose you could say that for a big company, but like for an indie company, that's probably just like there could be a game company or game publisher that doesn't really exist anymore. So you can't really legally make the version compatible with the Xbox One. There is a whole different, there could be like a music.
Okay, but then that's where we go back to some of our previous conversations. If you cannot legally buy a game, then surely there's no problem with pirating it.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
As long as you can pirate it. There's no grey area, because if you go to court saying, oh, you've pirated this game, you say, okay, let me give you money to play this game, and they turn around and say there isn't any, and then you say, well, then I'm going to pirate it because there's no way to play it legally.
Yeah, well, that's the solution, I think, to preserve these games is by pirates going in and having a hacked Xbox 360 and, you know, downloading all the games and then uploading them online. And then eventually, I suspect we'll be able to play it via emulation on PC. So it's not like the end of the world, but...
And I get that not everyone can do that, because not all PCs can emulate an Xbox, but...
Yeah, well, eventually, that's what I'm saying, eventually.
I mean, the 360 came out when? 2005?
In America, yeah.
You know, it's been 18 years.
But still, yeah, like I said, like for me, I haven't even been on a 360... I haven't touched my 360 for the last, like, 10, 12 years, because there's not really been a need to, because all the games that I enjoy, I can either play on my Xbox One or my Xbox Series X, and I can play at higher resolutions and higher frame rate in some cases. I can understand why if some people are a bit funny about losing the ability to play games. But you've had, like you said, you've had since 2005. You know, you've had long enough. It's been long enough. But, you know, for a service like that to keep going, it costs money, unfortunately. And there is not enough money involved to keep it running. There's probably not enough people paying for or using the store to keep it active. So I can understand, like, say if, like, the PS2 or the X, like, yeah, especially, like, the PS2 had a store. No, it never had a store. But had online functionality. Imagine if it had a store, though. Is everyone going to, you know, get angry that you can't access the PlayStation 2 store now? Like, if they tried to discontinue it. It's never been a problem, has it?
I suppose it's similar to people getting mad about games not being released for those generations. And here's the thing. This isn't last generation we're talking about. We're talking about two generations old. I know some people feel like the Xbox Series is still next gen, but it's current gen, and it has been for three coming up to three years this Christmas. So two and a half to three years. So it's definitely like we're almost mid-cycle for the current generation. And the 360, unfortunately, as great as the 360 is, it's not anywhere near current. I'd love to know what the numbers are for people using the 360 versus the One, but it can't be that much. It's probably going to skew more towards people in lower income countries or younger age brackets where they can't just go out and buy new game consoles. But I mean, ultimately, that's not Microsoft's responsibility, which is it's a horrible thing to say. It's a really capitalistic thing to say, but it isn't.
I think people would probably still use it as a spare like Prime or Netflix digital media center, have it in a spare room somewhere.
I mean, Fire Sticks are so cheap though.
That's true. I can see.
I think you'd probably save if you get a Fire Stick on sale, and the amount of power electricity you'd save from running a 360 is just gonna save that cost, unless you already had it and it was just sitting around, or you wanted a DVD player.
Or a HD DVD if you bought the add-on. If you bought the drive, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you have to look it up. HD DVD versus Blu-ray.
Where are you going to get HD DVDs from? I don't think they're really around.
eBay. You wouldn't want to anyway.
Yes, but what films are on HD DVD? Like, not a lot. They stopped doing them when Blu-ray came along.
Oh, well, yeah, because Blu-ray ran the war. Around about 2008, they stopped doing it. So yeah, I think it was like Universal and was supporting it. But yeah, anyway. For me, I'm not really that bothered that the store is going. I think if you wanted to, then you could pay for like a hack console and get all of the games anyway for free. I don't suspect that someone's going to be going out there.
You see those sorts of things on Amazon and eBay, don't you? So you can see like libraries worth of games just on the internet. Like, even eBay sells them.
What, people have downloaded and it's stored on an account? Is that what you mean?
No, just a USB drive full of games.
Oh, okay, yeah. So someone's like jailbroke it.
Maybe it's a scam.
Or mod. Yeah, who knows. But I wouldn't personally go out and start paying for like loads of stuff that could potentially be leaving. Like,
and that's the other thing is like if you're buying things on the Xbox 360 store, you're still going to be paying, like, this is the downside of digital, is that you're going to be paying full price for it. So you can be paying £20 for it for the game that costs like 50p at a local used game shop. And that's true even if it's a digital only game and you can't buy the disc, is that you're still, unless they put the price down to make up for it, you're going to be paying full price.
And the thing is, this is going to happen to the current stores as well. So in the next like 10-15 years, you will see the Xbox Series X store be decommissioned as well. So this is just going to be the going trend. And this is what happens when you buy digital media. I always try to buy the physical disc.
This has got nothing to do with buying digital media. Like, this isn't the same argument. This is a different argument. People who have purchased the games can still play and they can still download them. This is only about purchasing. If you purchased digital games in the past, you can't buy new digital games, but you can still buy disc-based games of the same era. And you can still play the game. So it's not the same argument at all. We're talking about different arguments.
But how long are they going to keep that going?
How is it the same?
But my question is, how long are they going to keep that going in terms of games that you can play, you've bought digital? You've seen iTunes. People have bought a load of films. Was it iTunes? People bought a load of films on iTunes and they're like, oh, okay, we lost the rights. You can't have those films now. Take it off. You don't have rights.
But that's between the rights holders and Apple, and that would be the same with digital games as well. And I still don't see how holding the disc will help you there, because so many games will phone home, even with a disc, to check
that's
DRM.
True.
So,
and that is a problem as well, where most games now are not stored on the actual disc. You can't actually play the game without some sort of internet connection, because it needs to download the rest of the game. But I think half of the game library on Series X are stored on the disc. I know the number is getting like every new release now.
It's not about whether it's stored on the disc or not, or whether there's updates. It's about whether it checks the license on the disc, or whether it's like Ubisoft and EA, where regardless of the license on the disc, it's going to phone home. Sorry, I need to take this puppy out to the toilet. He's whining at me, so I'll be back in a sec.
Sure. She said, woo. Yeah, no, I watched that. I might as well talk to myself and give it like a review. of something. I was watching Event Horizon, and I heard about it for a number of years, and I haven't really got around to watching it. But I did get that Paramount Plus for like a month for free, and I decided, okay, oh yeah, oh look, there's Event Horizon. I might as well give it a watch. So I gave it a watch, and it was all right. It wasn't like the best film ever made, but it had some nice ideas and a cool concept. The problem with the film was there's not really an enemy to actually latch on. There's a very like grey area of who is the bad person until the scientist, the doctor guy's like, aha, I'm the bad person. I'm trying to get back into hell. Because the premise is that there's this ship that's been lost for the last 4 years, and everyone thought it's been destroyed, but the actual reality is that the ship is has a secret technology inside that allows them to transport anywhere in time across the galaxy. And unfortunately, the ship ended up in hell, it seems, but for some reason has returned. So yeah, I give it probably like a 2.5 out of 4.
What don't you like?
Oh no, I was giving a review of something while you was away.
Oh right, okay. You carry on.
No, that was it really. Anyway, yeah, so the Xbox Store.
Were you doing a review of like Michael Jackson or something?
No, I was doing it of Event Horizon, the film. I watched it recently.
Okay.
So yeah, so the Xbox Store shutting down. I'm not affected in any way. I'm not going to cry about it and lose sleep over it. But it is kind of sad to see. But it is what it is.
It's an inevitability.
Yeah, I was thinking like the last update they should do is like, you know, there's like so many different dashboards that they had, and they kept changing it. And every dashboard, you're like, you kind of got used to it, and then they changed it, and then you're like, oh, I don't really like this, and then you got used to it, and then they changed it. I wish I had like an option where they can like you could select which dashboard you want to use. So they say, look, we're not going to give you any more updates, no more updates, but this is the last update, and you can choose which dashboard you want. Because I remember the Blades. I still love that. That original Blades dashboard was awesome. I don't think like the next one after that wasn't too bad, or the one after that. But I remember using the Blades, and I was like, "Wow, this is so cool!" And like looking through all the settings and stuff, and you're like, "Oh, there's so much I could do with this." But technically, you can't really do anything with it because it was like you can use Windows Media Center. And I was like, "Oh, really? I can watch live TV." And then I don't know. I didn't really play with that too much, but I was like, oh, let's look at all these cool little concepts they're putting in here.
It's a shame for the people who are really going to be affected by it, but I imagine the number of people who are still purchasing games on the 360 are incredibly low. And I do think that Microsoft will keep the ability to download and replay the games that have been purchased. I think that will still be around for a while, you know. I don't think they're going to get rid of that. It's just the purchasing side that they'll be getting rid of. There's cost there. I suppose the biggest one side we've not really spoken about is how this affects the developers. And obviously we're talking about games that haven't been actively developed for, you know, 15 years or something. But some of them may have been receiving, you know, 30 quid a month, 100 quid a month. And now that's going to be going down to nil if they're not on the backwards compatibility. And I wonder how much, I mean, I suppose, again, you can say, well, if they wanted to keep receiving money, they should have upgraded their game to be an Xbox One compatibility game. You know, that should be, in one sense, the onus is on the developer of the game, not Microsoft, to keep games running on newer game consoles. You know, we joke about Skyrim and GTA 5 being re-released 10 times, but that's how they still make money from those systems, from selling new copies of Skyrim or by selling shark cards. The developer has to actively develop it. You can't just expect to have residuals from your game for 20-30 years without doing any work to it at all.
Yeah, that's a good point. because there is, you know, it sounds easy just to say, oh, you know, just take the Xbox 360 code and put it on the Xbox One. It's a totally different framework. So there would be development involved in that, but it's something that, you know, if you've got a year to do that. So if you were a developer and you were making money and it doesn't, like, mean something to you, like, how much money you get, then, yeah, you could, you know, spend the time to, especially if you're an indie guy, if you're an indie developer, you could do it in your own time, I suppose, if it really matters to you. Like, spend some time in the afternoon, after work or whatever you're doing, to work on a project like this, to move it from Xbox 360 store to the Xbox Live, but then you have to pay for an Xbox development. It's only like $20, I think. I don't know what that is in pounds, but you have to get a license.
That's the other thing. Like, what happens when the games are abandoned? Do they sit on the store available, or do they go away completely? I imagine they go away. So there are developers who must still be paying for the games. I don't know. That's interesting, actually. That's something I hadn't really thought about, because I know with App Store, you know, iOS and Google Play, if you don't pay for your annual yearly dues, then obviously your app disappears. I don't know about games if you're not paying your development fees. I would imagine the game would go. So none of the games on there would be from dead developers, if that makes sense. Surely. That's what you'd think.
Well, no, it'll be whoever owns the rights. But that's a good point.
Yeah, which won't be Microsoft, unless they own the studio.
I don't know. I think if it was me, I would probably look at the figures of the sales that I've been getting for the last few years and thinking, do I want to continue this? Should I put the time and money into transferring it to the Xbox One marketplace? I'm thinking, is it worth my while? If it's not, then yeah, don't do it. If it is, then do it. But I probably suspect it probably isn't worth the while, because if you could have, you've had this time to do that anyway. But I don't know, like, you could suppose, like, if there's something on the Xbox 360 store and it did make some money at the start, then there's no probably harm putting it in the Xbox One store, because it, you know, who knows, it might take off again. People might discover it and be like, oh, this is a good game, you know? But, yeah, it depends. It could be like, okay, there's a developer's, like...
It could make developers make a proper Xbox One version of the game, as opposed to just expecting people to play it on the older system. So there might be some games that will disappear for a while, but then come back available on the Xbox One and the Xbox Series. Possibly. Probably not many, but there might be some.
Or, you know, you could do, like... There's like a community out there that have like they develop games, or they purchase game rights to games, and they try and like sell them on like game consoles that have been hacked, and then they can like distribute the games like the Dreamcast. The Dreamcast has like a few releases every last few years. Yeah, they've been getting releases, but it's been games that have been released before. Someone has acquired the rights and then decided, okay, I can tinker the code and get it to work on the Dreamcast, and then distribute it by using like that CDI method. I mean, because you can just put specific type of a CD or something, and you can burn the game to it, and the Dreamcast will read it, because there's an exploit in the CDI how it reads the disc. So yeah, people do that, where they acquire the rights to these games and then try and give it a new lease of life in the homebrew scene. But I suspect that won't be for everyone. That's just a...
And the other thing is, you could do what they did with... Before the Definitive Edition came out, that company, Grove Street Games, made the iOS and Android ports of the GTA games. So it might be... Because obviously phones can play 360 games, so it might be that these games could be ported to mobile phones, and that's where they'll pop up.
Yeah, that's probably more likely, isn't it? If you've got a game, especially like the Xbox Live Arcade, it probably makes... Well, the thing is, you have to adopt the controller. You would have to get it working the framework of Android and iOS, and then you would have to change the controls and the layout of the screen as well, stuff like that. I don't know, that might take some work. But yeah, it's an interesting theory, but I think most people just be like, oh yeah, forget it. Yeah, that game came out 15 years ago. I'm making what, like 50 quid each month. It's not worth it. So I just, yeah, it's fine. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Screen Bites. Follow us in your podcast app or subscribe on YouTube.